This is a verse you want to check out in any and every new Bible. New King Jimmy also. This verse will be changed in all of them. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. The word corrupt is removed from all of them. It's a standard policy. And the word peddle or peddling for profit is put in its place. So they would say, we are not as many which peddle the word of God, but they do peddle the word of God. Okay, notice the word, for we are not as many. So there are a bunch of them, the vast majority of them. There are over, since 1880, there are, I think, over 250 English translations since 1880. I didn't realize the language changed that much. And the more Bible translations you have, the less people will read them. That's just an automatic rule. Look, if you would, at Matthew 24, what the Lord said is going to happen in the last days, or in the end times, I guess you should say. Matthew 24. Verse 11. I guess you can say verse 10, Matthew 24, 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Bunch of them. Try 2 Peter chapter 2. If you get dealing with a Catholic about their faith, their belief system, one of the arguments that may come up is that we can't be wrong. We have so many. You mean to tell me 1 billion of us are wrong? Think Noah heard that before? There's more than 1 billion on earth when Noah got in the ark. Man, I don't know how many was on earth at that time. I would guess more than there is today. If you imagine the longer life, the larger families, no sickness, no wars recorded. And so it's a bunch of people there. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, and their damnation slumbereth not. So there's a bunch of them out there. And dare say that if you just hang around professing Christians, I think somebody's being paged. If you hang around professing Christians, no matter what faith it is, if you believe in eternal security, 85% of professing Christians will dump you. You don't have to separate yourself. They will separate themselves from you. Now, the remaining 15%, if you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, 14.99% of that 15, they will dump you. Again, the Bible says be separate. You don't have to worry about the separation. They will automatically separate from you. So you got 0.1% of the professing Christians after that. Now, from that group, if you believe that the Bible has got proper covenants and dispensations, rightly divided in the Scriptures, the vast majority are going to leave you for that. And then the smaller crowd, if you preach about health, they'll dump you for that. And if you preach about the law of America, the government and stuff, they'll dump you for that. And, you know, I don't got a persecution complex at all. It's just kind of nice being a loner. But that's just what I've experienced. And, you know, these people, and I'm not saying they're all bad people. When they leave you or forsake you, you know, you go to them and say, you go like this and wonder, you know, make sure it's not you. And then you just ask some simple questions, and they can't disagree with you, but yet they don't want to take that stand. And, you know, I don't fault them for it. It's just everybody's got a different path to follow. And basically, when it all gets down and said and done, the Lord just wants you anyway. It's you and God anyway. And you see, the man's temptation is the more people you get together, you're going to set somebody up as a god. Some human's going to be the god. And then they all say, look how big our group is, and here's our leader. And we believe what he believes. What does he believe? Well, he believes what we believe. Well, what do y'all believe? Well, we all believe the same thing. And you can't get an answer out of anybody. And what the Lord wants is he wants you and God alone, and there are going to be some issues in your life that God wants you and you alone to stand for. And just stand for it. And so all these bunch of people and everything, verse 17, and, you know, we have a burden for people and want to try to get people to gospel and everything, and that's a right thing to do, but the Lord loves them more than we do. And God is more concerned for their soul than we are. And we have a duty to do. And when God gives you children, you have a duty to raise those children up. Not, you know, forsake your family. And so Bob Jones Sr. used to say, duty never conflicts. And that is so true. That's so true. When I first went down to Rensselaer, you know, I was knocking on doors because that's what we were taught to do. And it's the right thing to do. Soul winning and stuff. But when I stayed home with my family, I kind of felt guilty. I thought I should be out knocking on some doors. And that wasn't right. There's a balance in everything. And so the balance is find out what the book says, know the Lord's in control, and just do what you have the capabilities to do, and the Lord will take care of the rest. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 2:17, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. You know, it's nice to have more and more folks, and that's a real blessing when you have more and more folks, but do you realize the more and more people that congregate together, generally speaking, the less truth can be disseminated. Generally speaking. Now, with the exceptions of that is during revivals. When the Spirit of God comes in and moves a people, And his spirit comes in and convicts many, many people. Okay, that would be the exception to the rule. But during times of apostasy, which what we're living in, when people will not endure sound doctrine, the bigger the crowd, generally speaking, I'm not saying in every case, but generally speaking, the less truth can be put out. And the reason why that is because somebody's going to get offended along the way. And as soon as somebody gets offended, Matthew 24, we read that many are going to be offended. And so that's why you have such politically correct speech in America. You know, you can't say manhole, you know, because that's biased towards men. It has to be a person hole. You know, I mean, it's just insane. And no matter what you say, you're going to offend somebody. And when you offend somebody, that tells you something about that person. It tells you that they don't love God enough, and they sure do love themselves. Because the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And when you get to the point where nothing can offend you, boy, you can sure have an enjoyable life. No matter what anybody says, just enjoy yourself. And somebody calls you a bunch of names, you can take notes and say, well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, not that one. You know, and just relax with it because that's the way it is. We're sinners saved by grace anyway. So we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Corrupting the word of God is done simply by adding a word, subtracting a word, changing a word, or if you go the whole route, just write a brand new whole Bible. Okay, so that's very simple. It's adding a word. That's what you go back to Genesis chapter 3. This is what was done back in Genesis chapter 3. So if you go at the first sin back in Genesis 3, you'll find that Eve added a word to the scripture where she said, neither shall we touch it. The Lord never said anything about touching it. Then she said, we can take of the fruit of the tree. And she dropped the word freely, so she subtracted a word. And then she said, lest she die, when God said, thou shalt surely die. So those are the three ways of mishandling the word of God. Add a word, subtract a word, change a word. And then to go the whole route is rewrite the thing completely. And a rewritten copy of the Bible, or a satanic version of the Bible, is found in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. There's one chapter in the Bible that is probably never discussed in a seminary or Bible schools, rarely if ever, and that's Jeremiah 36. Jeremiah 36 is the greatest chapter in the Bible on how God preserves his words. And so they're not going to discuss that one. Okay, now Luke chapter 4, in verse 10, this is an example of a satanic translation. You have a Bible version that came out in New American Standard. It came out in about 1960s, I think it was. NASV is what it's called. They usually call it NASB. That's usually the favorite one of the seminaries, NASV. NASV stands for, they say it stands for New American Standard Version. A more accurate translation or title would that be North African Satanic Version, because that's where it does come from. But it's a satanic version by this example, Luke 4, verse 10. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Okay, it is written. That is a quotation from the Old Testament. But who is saying this? Verse 9, Satan is saying this. So this is the devil quoting, or shall we say, misquoting the Bible. So this is a satanic translation. And what you have to do is you go back to the passage that he's quoting, and it happens to be Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. And if you go back there, you'll find that he drops four words. In verse 10, it should say, at the end of verse 10, it should say, to keep thee in all thy ways. So he drops those four words. And that's a satanic translation. The NIV drops and changes and removes, adds 60,000 word differences than the King James Bible. And they can't be the same. So we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. Okay, so we approach the word of God sincerely. A Bible believer is somebody who will change their beliefs to match the Bible. A Bible corrector is anybody who will change the Bible to match their beliefs by either adding a word, subtracting a word, changing a word. The educated way they do it is they go to Greek and Hebrew, and they tell you this word in the Greek is this, and then you sit down, oh, he's smart. And then they say this word, you know, they saw it in the back of the Strong's Concordance, and the definition, they'll have about five or six different definitions in the back, Strong's Concordance for each Greek word, and then they pick the one they like the best, and, oh, I think that's a good one too. And people sit there and say, oh, he's so smart. And what it's doing is glorifying scholarship rather than this book. And the Lord wants us to glorify the book. And once a person develops that attitude that I'm going to change my beliefs to match the Bible, you lose your desire to have to prop up a system that doesn't have any foundation. And you become more relaxed about your beliefs. And it's a very enjoyable place to be. And you just say, well, this is what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. And you say, well, you believe what that book says? Yeah, I'm just dumb enough to believe it. And that's a real enjoyable place to be. I've been doing this for years. I mean, we were raised Dutch Reformed, you know, and got saved, and the mom and dad got saved a couple years after I did. It was a little tyke, and we changed some beliefs when we found out what the Bible says. When then after that went to a non-denominational Bible church, parents helped start that, and then after a few years, oh boy, found out some other things in the Bible that doesn't agree, so we changed that belief. And so a person just relaxes about these things and find out that, hey, we all can be deceived. You know, the frustrating thing about deception is you don't figure it out until after the fact. That's the frustrating thing about it. But we all can be deceived. We're all susceptible to that because Jesus said, be not deceived. And we all have been taught some things wrong throughout our life. I mean, we have to admit that. And so there's nothing to be ashamed of about those things. It's just that you thank God that he opened your eyes about some things and it's now real clear to you. And you just sincerely say, Lord, please open my eyes, because if you don't do it, I can't do a thing about it. Not my education, not my intellect. It's not my social standing. Lord, I just have a humble mind that I want to see the light, and I got to see it from you, and it's got to be something that has no inconsistencies, and I got to see it in the Bible. I've got to back it up. I want to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And boy, when the Lord starts opening some things up, that book right there just becomes so real, so alive. It becomes so alive where you might think the thing's been moving around your house sometimes. And it's a great joy and a great blessing. Okay, back in 2 Corinthians, this idea of sincerity. Jerry, did you get him on tape? You didn't? Okay, that's fine. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17, there's the word sincerity. That's the heart and soul of the ministry, of being sincere in what we're doing. Chapter 4, verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Okay, there's your JWs, there's your Mormons, there's your, you name it. That's what the vast majority of them are doing. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The conscience is where our sincerity is. Back in chapter 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. So remember, 2 Corinthians is about the ministry. And we all, when you got born again, you had at least one full-time ministry given to you. And that full-time ministry is found in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And that's you personally getting in the Bible and you personally walking with God. That's the most important part of the ministry. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Okay, the ministry he's received is him personally looking in the Bible. If you back up and look into two verses preceding it, and then to handle the word of God honestly. Okay, and so when we handle the word of God with honesty, you're not concerned about talking to people. You're not concerned if they're going to stump you. You're not concerned if they're going to show you a weakness in your beliefs. You're not concerned about that. Because if they show you a weakness in your beliefs, okay, just accept it. Go on home and say, okay, either I got to shore that up, I got to study more, I got to make it more sure, or I got to find out the truth in this matter. Okay, and so whenever you deal with somebody, if you know they're a heretic, usually I set them up before we get going with the discussion, and I usually say something like, truth, do you believe truth is consistent? And they'll usually say, well, yeah. Do you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God? And they'll say, yeah. And so right then you got them set up already pretty well where you want them. And you say, well, do you believe your truth should match the Bible without changing any words? Well, yeah, I think that's right. Well, then you really got them boxed in a corner. You take a JW Bible and show them that Jesus Christ is called Jehovah God in their Bible, and boy, they just don't know how to handle that. Revelation 1:8, Revelation 22:13, in their Bible, that's their authority, you can show them Jesus Christ is Jehovah God, and boy, they don't know what to do with that. And so we study and handle the Word of God with honesty and with sincerity, and we let the Bible dictate what we're going to believe. Okay, chapter 3 is a whole other issue, so then we'll just stop there. It's a blessing to hear what Dan's got going on over there. Okay, any prayer requests or any things that you have? I'd like folks to pray for them.